It is so good to be with you. My name is Cameron Free. If we haven't met, I have the opportunity of serving here as our group's pastor, and we are so glad that you're here this morning. We are here to pursue God, to build community, and engage the world, and we do that through a variety of ways, and we are so glad that you're here this morning. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at a series called Anchored, where we see that what we are anchored to is going to determine whether or not we have joy and hope and peace. And 2 weeks ago, we heard from Francois. Let's thank Francois for opening the word 2 weeks ago. That week, we learned that joy is relational. We learned that God is both the object and the source of our joy. And last week, we heard from Matthew. Let's thank Matthew for opening the word last week. We heard about hope. And we learned that hope is a decision to wait on the Lord. This week, as we close out this series in Anchored, we are talking about peace. We're talking about how when we are anchored in Christ, we can experience true peace that can only come from God. I want to start this morning with a story. There was a family from Tampa on vacation in Switzerland in 2018. And this couple, on their very first day of vacation, decided to go hang gliding. Has anybody ever been hang gliding? Just a brave few. Very nice. Hang gliding is where you attach yourself to a giant wing and then jump off of a mountain for some reason and float down to the bottom. So this couple, on their first day of vacation, decided to go hang gliding. And I want to show you a picture of what this looked like right before this man was about to go hang gliding. On the right-hand side is a guy in a blue shirt. That's the instructor. And you'll see that he has all the safety equipment, and he is connected to the big, giant wing. And you'll notice that the guy on the left, wearing plaid, is wearing all of the safety equipment, but you'll notice that he is not connected to the hang glider. And I want to show you just a few snippets of this journey down a mountain where Chris on the left was not connected to the hang glider. Let's roll that clip. So getting started, everything looks good. They're running. And very quickly, we see that the instructor is seeing what's going on, Chris on the left, literally hanging on for his life. The pilot trying to go for a quick landing, it doesn't work. They're going down the mountain. Chris, his left hand holding on to that pole, right hand looking for something to hold on to. The right hand finally getting the leg of the instructor. These seconds that must feel like years as they get closer and closer to the ground. And then finally, just feet above the ground, Chris falls. The instructor continues to land the way that you're supposed to land, which is carefully and gently. Chris, on the very first day of his vacation, broke his wrist. It required 7 screws and a plate, tore his bicep from hanging on for that long, and didn't really get to enjoy the rest of his vacation. He later said in an interview, somebody asked him, Chris, are you going to go hang gliding again? And he said, absolutely. I didn't really get to enjoy it the first time around, which is obvious. Luckily, he is still alive. And what's crazy is that that clip might look like how your life looks. You, in your life, might be barely hanging on. You're traveling through life. You thought it was going to be one way. It turns out to be another, and you are barely hanging on. It is not the way that it was intended to be. Chris, just looking for something to hold on to. Not able to enjoy the view. That's a beautiful view. You're traveling down. You're just kind of floating. If you're doing it the way that it's supposed to be, if the instructor remembers to clip you in before you go, it's a beautiful ride. He didn't get to experience it. And some of you are not experiencing life the way that God wants you to experience it. And the reason for some of you is that you are not connected to God the way that you're supposed to be. If I can borrow a climbing term, you are not anchored. And the Bible talks about peace, and it talks about worry and anxiety. And for some of you, you have no reason to be anxious because you are anchored in Christ. But some of you have reason to be anxious. You are holding on by yourself. And what I hope the text shares with us today is that there is a supernatural peace that we can experience in Christ so that we don't have to hang on and make it through life on our own. What was crazy about that experience for him is that he was wearing all of the safety equipment needed, except he just wasn't connected. And it's crazy to me. Many of us show up on Sunday mornings. We got our Bibles with us. We go to Bible study sometimes. We look like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Many of us not actually living it out, not actually connected to God. And God is going to give us a way this morning. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think upon these things. Last verse, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, meaning to have joy, to experience joy. We looked at that 2 weeks ago, and Francois did a beautiful job of sharing that joy is relational. And if you missed it or you need a reminder, I want to encourage you to go back and learn about joy. Our joy comes from the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And because we need reminders, again, I say rejoice. Our joy does not come from ourselves. Our joy comes from outside of ourselves. It comes from the Lord who made us, who knows us, who understands us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And we can have joy in him because we are anchored in him. We are connected to him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Just another reminder for you. Verse 5 says, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. Some of your Bibles might say gentleness or kindness. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Why? Because our lives have been transformed. For those of us that are following Jesus, our lives look different. And others should be able to see our gentleness. And it should be known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. And there's two parts to this. The Lord is at hand. The Lord could come back at any moment. We don't know. But he is near to us. He is also near to us for those that call on his name. He is near to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is at hand. Let others see your gentleness. And then we get into the meat of this passage here and where we're going to spend most of our time. Verse 6 goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. many of us experiencing anxiety in our lives. I wanted to give a definition just because anxiety probably means different things to different people, but a possible way of looking at anxiety is the desire for a particular outcome and then the fear that it won't happen. I really want this thing to happen. I'm afraid that it's not going to happen the way that I want it to, and so I worry and I feel anxiety. Anxiety often for us is desire for a particular outcome and the fear that that outcome won't happen. God, I want my kids to do this, and I'm afraid that they won't. I'm afraid that they'll do this instead, or my job or my bank account or whatever the case may be. Many of us feeling anxiety in this room, and this text is for you today, regardless of what you're feeling that anxiety about. Do not be anxious about anything. Not anything. But, verse 6 goes on, in everything, and then we hear more, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So we have anything and everything. That's pretty all-encompassing. Regardless of what you're going through in your life, something that you may have told somebody, maybe somebody you've never told somebody, everything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So what are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to be anxious. What are we supposed to do? But in everything, by prayer. So we're not supposed to be anxious, but in everything we're supposed to pray. What is prayer? Prayer is, in this text, just generally speaking, communicating with God. Not turning to yourself, to your own devices, but actually pausing to pray. So we pray to God. We're not anxious about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, we pray. And there's a specific type of prayer that we're supposed to do by petition. Some of your texts say supplication. Some of them say petition. We are asking God with thanksgiving. So we're not feeling anxious. We are praying. We are asking God, and we are thanking him. Why are we asking God? Well, God knows what we need before we even need it. The Bible says that God will give gifts to his children because that's what good parents do. He knows what we need. So we ask him for what we need in our life, and we ask it with thanksgiving. Why do we ask it with thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is us turning our minds, our hearts toward God and saying, regardless of what happens in this situation, thank you for how good you are. Thank you for the outcome. It's you saying, God, I know that you know what I need before I even know it or ask it or need it. And because of that, I'm going to thank you for this outcome. So we're not anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Don't forget to thank God. So we feel anxious, we pray, we thank. So as we're doing these things, it says in verse 6, let your requests be made known to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We are asking God. We are requesting something of him. God, I'm really nervous about this thing. I feel anxious about this thing. I need you to be with me. We are letting our requests be made known to God. Things he already knows about us, but things he wants to work in our life with us, so that we can experience the peace of God. So we're not anxious, we're praying, we're thanking. And then verse 7, and the peace of God. So we're not experiencing anxiety, we're turning our affections toward God, and we are experiencing true peace. We are praying, we are spending time with God. I heard one pastor share that he said, I've never met a chronic worrier that enjoyed an excellent prayer life. I've never met a chronic worrier that enjoyed an excellent prayer life. What does that mean? It means for those of us that are worrying, when was the last time you prayed or cried out to God about that thing? There is a direct correlation between the anxieties of life that we feel that are often very real in our life. There's a direct correlation between that and what we are praying for and thanking God for. Cry out to Him so that you can experience the peace that can only come from God. There's four things about this peace I want to make sure that we see in verse 7. First, this peace is of God. This peace does not come from ourselves. This peace is from God. And aren't you so glad this peace comes from God? I got to tell you, the peace that we try to find in our own life is terrible. It doesn't work. What do we often do? We often go to things that we think will provide peace. We often go to the techniques of the world to find peace. Well, maybe if I just had a vacation. Maybe I just had some peace and quiet. Maybe if I just had a better work-life balance. Maybe if I just did this or didn't do that. We go to all of these things that just don't work. I'm so glad that the peace of God is different than what we will try to find peace in. So we see that this peace is of God. The second thing that we see in verse 7 is that this peace is beyond our understanding. We can't even fathom it. So as we're sitting here looking for peace in our lives, peace that we want to find, we are trying to find peace that we can understand. And that's just not going to work. We're not going to find peace in the things that we can understand. Many of you looking for peace in things that don't actually offer peace. Can I get an amen on that? We often do it, but this peace that is from God goes beyond our understanding. We can't even comprehend it. And I'm so thankful for that. The third thing that we see of this peace is that it guards our hearts and our minds. So what we're doing here, we're praying, we're thanking, we're asking God for things. We are letting it be made known, the anxieties, the fears that we're feeling inside. We're getting it out. And then what's God going to do as we experience His peace? He is going to guard our heart and our mind. Think of it like in a military sense, like standing guard outside your heart and your mind to keep those worries and anxieties and fears from coming back, or even new ones from coming. When we experience the peace of God, He will guard our hearts and our minds. Guarding our hearts, guarding the things that we have affection for that's not Him. Guarding our minds, the thoughts that we might have that we should not have. And God guards our hearts and our minds. And the fourth thing is that this peace is in Christ Jesus. This is not something that we can do on our own, and this is a beautiful reminder that this peace comes from Jesus, from the sacrifice that He made. It says in the book of Romans that those that are justified have peace with God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have peace with God, and that allows you to experience the peace of God that's talked about here. It is because of Jesus and His sacrifice that makes this possible. So this peace is from God. It's beyond our understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful for this peace that we can experience. But many of us in this room, I know, are not experiencing peace. You'd say, I'm not experiencing peace. I've talked with many of you over the last weeks and months. I'm just not experiencing peace. There's too much going on in my life. Let me tell you about some of the things that are going on in my life. This relationship is not going well, and my finances are not going well, and this thing is not having the outcome that I want it to have. Why don't I have peace? As if peace was the result of this ideal outcome in our life. It is not. what this text is screaming out to us is that when we are feeling anxious, cry out to God. Bring him into that process. Spend time with him. You think, I can't spend time with him. I got to figure all these things out. No. When you're feeling anxious in anything, you pray, you request, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Peace does not come from these ideal circumstances. I want to put it like this. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Peace comes from presence, not perfection. Peace comes from presence, from spending time with God, not this perfect life that we try to orchestrate. Peace comes from presence, from spending time with him, alone with him, making your requests known, telling him how you feel. God, I just don't know if I can make it through another day in this area. If we're looking for perfection, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the peace that God offers. God wants you to experience true peace today that can only come from him. Peace comes from presence, not perfection. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So what do? We feel anxious, we pray, we cry out to God, we share these thoughts with God, almost emptying our brains and our hearts of these worries that we have. God guards our heart, our mind, but not so that our hearts and minds can remain empty. That's not the point here. The point is not just get all the negative thoughts out and that's how you experience peace. No. The reason that these verses are here is to remind us that when we have cried out to God, that we are to replace these thoughts with things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. We put these thoughts in our heart, in our mind. And that's how we begin to experience peace. Think about some of the things that you're thinking and have been maybe even focusing on. Are they true? Some of the things that you've begun to believe. Maybe some of the things that are causing some of the anxious thoughts in your mind, in your heart. Are they true? Do they honor God? Are they pure thoughts? For some of us, the answer to those questions might be no. And God wants to guard us. And then we fill our minds with the things that are good and excellent and praiseworthy that come from God. These are really, really good filters to sift through. If you're thinking something or wondering something or looking for something, filter it through this. Is this thing true? I was feeling something in my life this week. I went straight to me. Is this true? Is this thought I'm having true? And for me, the answer was no, it's not true. I was feeling some things that I shouldn't have felt. And I was reminded of what is true. That I'm not a slave to sin anymore. That if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I reminded myself of that. I reminded myself of what is true, putting those thoughts and that scripture in my mind based on what these verses are saying. So not just pushing out negative thoughts, making our requests known to God, and then we're filling our hearts and minds with these things. In verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Think through these things. Remember these things. Put them into practice. Do them over and over and over. This is Paul here, reminding them. He was with them at one point. He's writing to them now. He's saying, everything that I've said, the text that we're looking at today, all the previous things, do those things and you can experience the God of peace. Remember all these things. And for those of you that are thinking that Paul's writing this from some ideal circumstances, like, thanks, Paul, really appreciate it. Paul writing these words from prison, let's not forget this. He's not like on a beach somewhere. He's not at Spanish River Beach sipping some cool drink, watching the sunrise or something. Like, this is like not a good time. He's relying on God, but this is not ideal circumstances. I want to make sure that we don't miss this. This is not when everything's perfect in my life, then I can experience peace. No, we experience the peace of God in the midst of some of the most difficult times that we experience. So we put all these things into practice. We do them over and over and over again. And the God of peace will be with us. I want to make sure that you're seeing this. There's the peace of God that's coming from the God of peace. That is such a beautiful thing. You go, where am I going to find peace? Well, it's going to come from the God who gives peace, who is peace for us. And it's a beautiful thing. And this peace, it's going to impact the relationships that we have with those in our lives. It's going to impact it. And there's one verse that we talked about a few minutes ago. It says, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. And as I was reading through it, as I've read it before, and even this week, I'm thinking, that verse just kind of seems out of place, doesn't it? Like, we're talking about anxious thoughts and worry and prayer. What does my gentleness have to do with anything? And as yesterday, literally as I was thinking and praying through this, yesterday, Sarah and I got into a disagreement, an argument, if you will. And as we were arguing and trying to figure out what was going on, and we eventually apologized and made up, we were able to trace our disagreement back to worry and anxiety in me and worry and anxiety in her. And we just finally ended up, I'm sorry, I'm just feeling anxious about this thing and this thing. I want you to see this. We make our requests known to God. We let our requests be made known to God. And the previous verse says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. So we make our requests known to God so we don't experience anxiety, we experience peace. And we also, that allows us to let our gentleness to be known to others, to everyone. See, these things have a relationship together. They're not just separate. When we experience peace, it allows us, it enables us to show gentleness to others and those around us. I want to make sure that we see this connection. Peace is not something that we just experience and then that's it and then it's just for us. No, our peace is something that we experience so that we can have peace with others and be gentle with them and then live out all the other things that God wants us to do. So we feel anxious thoughts in any situation. We pray, we thank God, we let him know what's going on. And then the peace of God is something that we can experience. And as I've been talking with many of you, I've been hearing that there's, for many of you, a lack of peace in your life. You say, I'm not experiencing peace. I got all these different reasons why I can tell you why I'm not experiencing peace. And I want to encourage you this morning and gently challenge you this morning if you're not experiencing peace. I just want to remind you, we see all over Scripture that God is our peace. It says in Psalms that he blesses his people and gives them peace. John 14, 27, Jesus says, I have come to give you peace. Not like the world gives do I give you peace. I've come to give you a different peace than the world gives. The Bible also says that God is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. He is our Prince of Peace. This text today saying that we can experience the peace of God because he is the God of peace. So I want to ask you a question today. For those of you not experiencing peace, whose fault is it that you're not experiencing peace? Is it God's fault? Some of you may be even blaming God for your circumstances and your lack of peace in your life. Is it God's fault that you don't have peace? Is that really what you're saying? Thoughts that I've had even myself. Why am I not experiencing peace, God? I don't think it's my fault. Well, it's definitely not God's fault. We see all over Scripture that he is the God of peace. So who's it on? Is it on him or is it on me? And I know that might be tough for some of you to hear, but I think this text is screaming out to us. When we experience a lack of peace, he is the source of our peace and wants to give it to you. God wants to give you peace this morning and in life with whatever you're going through. God wants to give it to you. He has it. We do not have it, and he wants to give us peace. In my life, I've experienced a lack of peace so many times. Tempted to feel anxious thoughts about this and that. I'm even tempted to feel anxious thoughts right now at this very moment. But what do we do? What do we do when we feel a lack of peace? We pray, we spend time with God. We talk, we share, but we also listen. We read Scripture. We thank him. We petition him for the things that are going on. And then we get to experience peace. We give him our anxieties, and we experience peace. Many of you in this room experiencing a lack of peace. I want you to think through some of the things that you might be experiencing. What are some of the anxieties that you need to make known to God? Just think through them right now. What are some of the worries in your life? What are some of the areas you're not experiencing peace? We all have them to one degree or another. Think through them. What are they? And which ones of those have you made known to God, and which ones do you need to make known to him today? I got to tell you, it is such a beautiful thing that we get to give our anxieties, our fears, these thoughts and feelings that we have to God, and then we get to experience peace. That is a good trade. We get to trade our anxieties to God, and he gives us peace. That's like the ultimate trade. The thing that's been holding you back, holding you down, keeping you from living the way that you should, could be that you are not spending enough time with God. And I want to encourage you to do that. Spend time with him so that you can experience peace. And I know that there's probably people in here that are going, I don't buy it. I don't know if that's actually true. We're going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to pray, to do what the text says, so that you can experience peace. I am standing here today giving the testimony that God's peace is better than our peace or our lack of peace. And there are many people in here that I've spoken with, that are shaking their heads right now, that are living, breathing examples that God's peace is better than the peace that we try to come up with on our own. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. God's peace is better. And when we are anchored in Christ, we can experience true peace. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go into a time where you can actually spend time with God, where you can pray and reflect, and some of those requests that you need to make known to him, you can have the opportunity to do that. I'm not going to close this in prayer yet. You don't have to run off to whatever you need to do. This is the reason that you may be here this morning. Two possible responses that you may have to this text. Some of you have never, ever experienced peace with God, period. You've never experienced the peace of God. And for you, you have a different response to this. Your response should be, God, I want to have this peace with you. I've never experienced it before in my life. I want this peace with you that you offer. And we would love to be able to pray with you and for you and share with you that Jesus is better than these things that are going on in your heart, in your mind today. Jesus is better than those things. Life with him is better. Not just to get rid of your anxiety and to experience peace, but to experience God. Like, that's what we get when we spend time with him. We get to experience God. So some of you in this room maybe need to experience peace with God for the very first time. Some of you may be followers of Jesus and you've experienced peace in some way, but you're not experiencing peace in your life. Or maybe you're not experiencing peace in your life in a particular place. I want to encourage you this morning, cry out to him. What I want, the worship team is going to come forward and lead us in a song. And as they do that, what I want you to do, I want you to think through the request that you need to make known to God. And we're going to give you the opportunity, whether that's in your seats, and we're also going to invite you, if you want to come forward by yourself with the person that came with you. We want to give you this moment to actually put this into action, to spend time with him. And if you're experiencing peace in your life, I want to encourage you, keep doing it. Keep going. Keep running. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you actually experiencing the peace that God wants to give you this morning? Or are you just faking it? You look like you're experiencing peace. Isn't that such a shame that you would rather others think you have peace than to actually have peace? We want to give you this moment. So we're going to sing this song. And I want to encourage you, pray. Our prayer team is going to be up front. We want to encourage you to come forward to pray, to connect with God, to even pray through some of these things with the people that will be down front. Some of you just need to fall on your face before God and go, God, I've been living for myself. I've been living based on feelings and emotions and thoughts that I shouldn't have. Some of you just need to fall before the Lord. So this morning, I want to encourage you to be honest with yourself, with God, and run to him to find your peace. Our worship team is going to lead us now, and I encourage you, come forward or pray in your seats. Take this time. Team, if you'll lead us.